me in the study of 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, beginning with verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. If you were with us on the last study, you will recall that in the 14th and 15th verses of chapter 2, the Spirit of God, through Paul, tells us that there are carnal, that there are natural people who do not understand the things of God, and there are spiritual people who understand because the Spirit of God leads them into these things. Now we have a third class. Actually, the natural man stands on one side because this is one who has not received Christ at all, and on the other side stands the believer, and the believer may be either spiritual or carnal. He is spiritual if he is spirit-led. He is carnal if he is led by the flesh. The word carnal comes from the Latin word carne, our word for flesh. And so a fleshly person, that is a person who is led by his base nature, by his fallen nature, a person who lives after his depraved nature, is a carnal Christian. Now they are Christians because he says they're a brethren. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Some brethren, some Christians, are spiritual. They are spirit-led. The Spirit of God is teaching them the things of God. They are subject to the Spirit of God, but some are carnal. They are acting like babies. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a babe in Christ if you just don't stay a baby too long. Ephesians chapter 4 says that ye should no longer be children, but that ye should grow up unto him. A baby is very cute if it doesn't stay a baby too long. And a Christian who is newly saved is a babe in Christ, and of course he should have the milk of the Word. He says in verse 2, I have fed you with milk. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we are told, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, the simple things of the Scripture. If you just accepted the Lord Jesus for your Savior last week or last month, of course you are a baby in Christ, and you should only be interested in the simple things. Just try to get all of this that you can enjoy. Think about Christ dying for your sins and rising again. Think what it means to be forgiven and justified and redeemed. Just enjoy these simple truths of what it means to be a child of God. But after you've been a Christian for a little while, you should be going on to understand deeper things. You should be able to understand something about the high priestly work of Christ. For instance, this is what he calls strong meat in the 5th chapter of Hebrews. But Paul says to these Corinthians in verse 2 of our chapter, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. They were not going on well with God. They were not growing. They were not making progress. And now he tells us in the rest of verse 3 why. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Now this is only one form of carnality. The Galatians had another form. Their form was that they were trying to keep the law. They thought that if they didn't keep the law, they'd get lost again. There are hundreds, thousands of carnal Christians, just like the Galatians, on earth today. Perhaps you're one of them, and you're thinking that unless you live up to the law, you'll lose your salvation. Well, read the book of Galatians and see what God says about this. This is pure carnality. You're thinking that you can do it by yourself. You're trusting in your own ability, and this is carnality. There are several other kinds of carnality. Anything that is according to the flesh, anything that is selfish, we'll say. If I am living simply for my own pleasure, this is carnality. If I am pleased with my progress and my own ability and think that I am somebody, this is carnality. Carnality is anything that is not Christ-likeness. The Holy Spirit would like to occupy us with Christ. The Holy Spirit will get your eyes on the Lord Jesus. Anything else is carnality. If you are self-centered, you are a carnal Christian. Now, you're not a lost soul. You're not a natural, because you were in the natural until you received Christ, and then you became a child of God. The natural man doesn't understand the things of God at all. He's never been born again. You have been born again? Very well. Then are you living as a carnal Christian, or are you growing and going on in the things of God and becoming spiritual? What is the cure for carnality? Well, I must admit that in our day, there is very little teaching from the Word of God, and so many Christians are never given what they need to help them to become spiritual. As you turn to the Word of God, and you see the Lord Jesus portrayed there, and your heart is attached to Him, you will see yourself as you are, and you will want to judge yourself in God's presence. You'll come to God in confession, acknowledging where you're wrong, and then you will become more like the Lord Jesus as you think more on Him. The cure for carnality is to confess yourself as wrong and turn away from yourself to be occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And the more you think on Him, the more you'll become like Him. We become like that which we admire, you know. And this will happen in your life, too, if you get your eyes on Christ. How much of the Word of God are you reading each day? Are you spending too much time with the radio or with the television or reading the wrong kind of literature? Take time with your Bible. Take time in the presence of God to pray. Take time for self-examination and confession of what is wrong in your life. Now, there is absolutely no excuse for the kind of thing that was going on among these Corinthians, ending and strife and divisions. I know there are those who say we need different denominations so we'll have something that'll suit everybody. But this is just simply making out God to be a liar. God says that it's all wrong. God says that it is carnality itself. If you're proud of your denomination, if you're proud of being a member of this or that organization, God says you're carnal. I make no apology for saying what my Bible says. If you take the names of men, as they did, some would say I'm of Paul, and others would say I'm of Apollos, and later on he carries it a little farther and says that some say I'm of Cephas and I of Christ. Whenever a person claims to be something different and superior to the rest of the Christians, the rest of the believers, he is carnal. Well, you say, I don't take the name of a man. Our church isn't named after a man. Our church is named after a form of government. Or our church is named after an ordinance. Or our church is named after this or that thing. Well, what's wrong with the name the Lord Jesus gave us? Why aren't you satisfied just to belong to Christ? And why aren't you satisfied to recognize all other believers as belonging to Him? Well, he carries this further by saying, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. The credit all should be given to God Himself. The glory is His. Man is nothing. Not today. There's a great deal made of men. We honor men. We say, oh, this man is a wonderful preacher. So many souls got saved where he was preaching. What would you think if a surgeon performed a very marvelous operation, and instead of honoring that surgeon, the people took his scalpel, some of his tools, some of his instruments that he used, and put these in a case and took pictures of them and said, these are the wonderful instruments that saved this man's life, and said nothing about the person who used them? Well, you say the skill is in the hands of the surgeon. That's exactly what God is saying here. Neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. If I plant something or water it, and it grows well, I can't take the credit for it. It's no use to say that I have a green thumb. It wasn't I who did it. It's God who caused it to grow and to bloom and to bear fruit. Now he says in verse 8, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. That is, he wanted them to know there was no real quarrel between Paul and Apollos. We are one, and all who serve the Lord ought to be in unity with one another, not competitors. And then he says, every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. for we are laborers together with God. Now, don't confuse the reward given to those who labor for the Lord with salvation, which is a free gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can't do one turnover of your hand to merit salvation. God will not reward you by taking you to heaven. If you're trying to get to heaven that way, you've missed the whole story. Salvation is by grace. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But once you receive Christ as your Savior, then you have the privilege of being laborers together with God. God gives you something to do for Him, and what you do for Him pleases Him, and He gives reward. Now, He doesn't give reward according to your ability, nor according to your success, but according to your labor. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. If you're my brother and sister in Christ, make sure that you work for the Lord after you're saved. Not to get saved, not to keep saved, but because you belong to Christ, be laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. God is the one who planted us. Now let's labor in His vineyard so that others will be brought to Christ.